And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations. The eternal life. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Life, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, The Merry Jests of Hershula Ostropolyar, was written by Ernest Kinoy and was based on sections of the Treasury of Jewish Folklore edited by Nathan Aucible. Featured as Hershula is Martin Wolfson.
This is a story my old grandmother used to tell me Friday afternoons, as I perched on the high stool in the kitchen, watching the kettle of fish simmering on the stove for the Sabbath meal, while the warm smell of baking bread made my nose twitch in anticipation. It was a story of the old days and of the old country. But most important, it was a story of a real man lost in the gay clothes and painted mask of 150 years of folk legend. It was the story of Hershula Ostropolyar, the people's jester. Hershula served many masters as official fool and court jester, most famous among them the Grand Rabbi Baruch, the learned man of Minziborj. But this is the story of the days when Hershula served His Magnificence, the Parnas. But His Magnificence was not always pleased with his jester, for Hershula aimed his shaft at rich men as well as poor, at high places as well as low.
Tell me, my Lord Parnas, wherein lies the difference between poor Hershula Ostropolyar and His Excellency the Parnas of Minziborj?
A riddle. Oh, come, Hershula, come, the answer.
If it please you, sir, whereas His Excellency the Parnas is paid 2,000 gulden a year for being good, poor Hershula is good for nothing.
And so when the time came each week for Hershula's salary, the worthy jurist, with the full purse, had a habit of taking the jester at his word, and Hershula was good for nothing. Finally, things were so bad that Hershula's wife, never known for a soft and velvet tongue, threw up her hands, stamped her foot, and laid down the law.
Hershula, I've had enough, too much. Here it is almost time to prepare for the Passover holiday, and have we wine in the house?
No.
Have we money for new clothes?
No.
Have we money to buy matzahs for the holiday?
No.
Have we made any preparation at all for Passover?
Yes.
What?
Certainly, wife. Well, we've got half the Passover already assured.
Now what? What do you mean half the Passover?
Well, what do you have to do to prepare for Passover? First, you have to clean every crumb of bread out of the house. And then you buy matzahs and bring it in.
And with no money, where will we find matzahs?
Ah, but that's the second half. The first half we've already done. Why, for a week now, there hasn't been a single crumb of bread in the house. Therefore, we're half ready for the holiday.
It's all very well to laugh, but it's no joke to live with a man who brings you a funny story for supper instead of meat.
No, my dear wife, it's not my fault.
Why?
Why, you've caused me more trouble than 10 good-for-nothing relatives.
What's that?
Oh, I can prove it. Once, when I was young, a millionaire wanted me to marry his daughter.
But how could you? You were married to me.
That didn't stop me. Well, everything was arranged, so finally I had to tell the truth. I called over the rich man and told him, in my family, there are drunkards, card players, sinners, good-for-nothings without number. Makes no difference at all, said my bride's father. Then I said, but father, I've already got a wife. So what does he do? He takes me by the scruff of the neck and throws me out.
So what does that prove?
Can't you see? He was willing to swallow all the others but you.
What?
That proves that you must be worse than all the good-for-nothings in my family rolled into one.
What? Oh, Hershula, I should have known. Another one of your stories. But no more now. Off you go to the Parnas and insist on your year's back pay.
Hershula
What a story. Tell me, Ashley, is it true that you beat your wife with a stick and that she clouts you over the head with a rolling pin?
That's not altogether true, Master.
No.
No. Sometimes we change over.
Ashley, truly you are the king of fools.
Aye, Master, and I can prove it.
You can.
What would you call a man who works in another man's field for nothing and neglects his own?
Why, a fool.
So then, Master, I, who have labored for you for a whole year, surely I must be the king of fools.
Yes, there is something there.
Not much, in truth. The time for Passover comes, and there's not a copper in the house to buy food.
But times are better, Herr Schley. Haven't you found it easier to prepare for Passover this year than last?
Oh, yes, Master. Much easier.
Ah.
Last year, I had to carry my table to the pawnbroker for money. This year, I'll only have to carry my chair.
Herr Schley, I'm not altogether sure you deserve the money.
I know.
I know you take a journey to light a chef and perform a good deed. If the good deed shows a good heart, why, then you'll have your back pay and 100 gulden beside. That's fair enough, isn't it?
But, Master, the Leitershev road is swarming with bandits.
Actually, nothing can harm you. Don't you know that heaven protects a man on his way to do a good deed?
Yes, Master. I know it. And you know it. And heaven knows it. But do the bandits know it?
And so Herschel Osterpolier started out on his journey to Leitershev. But the road was long and dusty, and Herschel's shoes were thinner than the finest parchment. So thin that he used to say he could read a book with his toes while standing on it. So, when he got to the first coach station, he borrowed a long coachman's whip from the innkeeper. And then, in the middle of the inn yard, he cracked the whip loudly over his head.
I'm taking people to Leitershev for half fare.
Now, standing in the inn yard was Joseph the Merchant, one of the pillars of the Leitershev community, a stout man and a frugal one.
What's that? Did you say half fare to Leitershev?
Half fare. I'm taking people to Leitershev.
Well, that's a bargain. Here, coachman, I'll buy a ticket. Now, where are the coach and the horses?
Don't worry, Master, don't worry. Just follow me.
And so Joseph the rich merchant and several other thrifty travelers followed Herschel out of the inn yard. As they passed out of the town, they began to look a little anxious. Here was the coachman, all right. Now, where were the horses?
Here now, coachman, enough. We've come miles already. Where are the horses? I'm turning back. We're over halfway there.
Then there's no point turning back, is there? Don't worry, master. Just follow me.
Finally, the town steeple of Leitershev peeked up from behind the hill, and Herschel's weary little caravan crossed the bridge and shuffled into the main square.
Well, here we are. Leitershev, last stop.
Now, you swindler, you thief, give us back our money. You tricked us.
I tricked you?
Where were the horses and the coach?
Oh, that's the difficulty. Tell me, master, did I or didn't I promise to take you to Leitershev for half fare? And what did you pay? Half fare. And where are you now? Leitershev. Now, as for the horses... Remember, master, the old saying, if you crack a whip, you can always find some horses. And I did. I did.
Now I've got enough for a good dinner at the inn. My master was surely right. Shiluchei mitzvah, einani zokin. Heaven protects a man on his way to do a good deed. Here now, what's this? Here now, girl, crying? For shame.
Please, sir, leave me alone.
Never. Why, anyone as young and pretty as you should be laughing.
Laughing? What have I got to laugh at?
Why, there's always something to laugh at. Take me. I'm a jester, a clown on a retainer. What could be more side-splitting than a poor man who must be witty or his children go hungry?
Oh.
A learned man who must be the fool or his cupboard stay bare?
Oh.
That's a joke that improves as the years go by. It never fails to get me a-roaring with mirth.
Please.
Now, take yourself here by the roadside. As pretty a signpost as ever I saw. A milestone of beauty. A toll gate to stop the fastest traveler. That's better. And now, sweetheart, why wet the dust of the road with tears? In my experience, a woman cries for either love or money. Which is it?
Both.
Money and love? Reason enough for tears. Now, which comes first? I'll guess.
How old are you?
18.
Then love comes first. You're in love with whom?
David, son of Joseph, the merchant.
Then when is the wedding?
Oh.
No wedding?
No, sir. I'm an orphan and I've no dowry. David's father says he forbids his son to marry a pauper.
Well, that accounts for love. Now money?
I haven't any. I haven't eaten all day.
What? You should be ashamed of yourself. You'll injure your health.
Oh.
Here, take this purse. It's enough for a fine meal.
But I couldn't take your money.
Here now, girl, take it. We'll see if we can make it serve, too. Now, you stand by me and try to look frightened.
I don't understand.
That'll do nicely. Innkeeper! Innkeeper!
What? Who's there?
Innkeeper!
Who's howling out there? What is it?
I'm half dead with hunger. Give me something to eat.
A beggar? I'm sorry, there isn't a bit of food in the house.
What? No food?
No food.
In that case, I'm afraid I'll have to do just what my father did.
What? What's that? What did your father do?
Never mind. My father did what he did.
Oh, what in heaven's name could his father have done? And I'm all alone in the house. You'll do what your father did?
Absolutely.
Well, that's terrible. His father might have been a murderer. Come inside, sir. Come in. I'm sure I can find something to eat.
Ah, what a meal. Had enough, Judith?
Oh, yes, sir.
You're feeling better now, sir?
Much better.
Then, if you don't mind my asking...
By all means, ask.
I know it's presumptuous, but would you mind telling me what was it your father did?
Oh, my father? Whenever my father didn't have any supper, he went to bed without it.
Heaven watches over the man who travels to do a good deed. Now Hershela, the jester, set out with Judith to find David, her beloved. They searched through all the taverns, that was Hershela's idea, but finally they found him just coming from the house of prayer, that was Judith's idea. Hershela assumed his most serious air, somewhat marred by a twinkle in the left eye and the shadow of a grin around his mouth, and he questioned young David closely.
I love Judith more than anything, except...
Except?
My father has forbidden me to marry her. I cannot disobey him. Judith would feel that she came between us. And you can't build a real marriage on unhappiness.
You would marry her if he gave his consent?
Tomorrow. No, today. This minute.
Soon enough. Well, that settles that.
But my father would never consent. He insists on a rich dowry for my bride. And Judith is an orphan without a copper. Oh, it's hopeless.
It was. But now, friend David, you have Hershela on your side. You've solved my problem. I've found my good deed. And now it's only fair... I must solve yours.
Up the main street of Leidyshef marched Hershela, wrapped in a fine cloak borrowed from young David, up to the finest house on the street.
Open up in there! Open up!
Who's there?
The famous Shachan, the marriage interventionist from the city! Open up!
A marriage interventionist? Well, come in, come in.
You.
It's you. The coachman. The thief.
That's an unkind way of putting it.
Out of my house, cheat, swindler.
Hold on, master, hold on. I can do you a great service.
Liar, good for nothing. What service?
You have a son you want to have married, don't you?
What's all this about my son?
I've got a bride for him, a beautiful girl, a fine cook, a good heart, and a loving nature.
Who is this girl?
A lovely girl, charming, gracious.
Enough, enough. What's her name?
Judith.
Judith? The orphan girl.
Well, her parents are dead.
How dare you propose such a match for my son? Out of my house, loud swindler cheat.
Ah, let go of my collar. Ah,
don't you go and stay out.
Well, what happened, Hershela?
Did David's father give his consent?
We have won the first battle.
We have?
What happened?
He threw me out.
But, oh...
What good does that do us?
We'll see, we'll see. It's time for the second battle. Remember, we have him trapped. Before he can throw me out again, he has to let me in.
And so Hershela marched up the main street, up to the broad oak door of Joseph the Merchant he strode, and imperiously he slammed the brass knocker.
Hello in there! Open up!
What? You here again? I told you not to show your face here. Get out or I'll call the town watch.
Pray, Master, calmly now, calmly. I've got a first-class match for your son.
You have?
I've got a bride for him straight from heaven itself.
You do, huh? Who's she this time?
A queen, an empress.
Marriage broker can exaggerate a sneeze on a cold night into the day of judgment. Come, who is this bride you have for my son?
None other than the daughter of the Parnas of the province.
What? Why, he's the richest... the most important... Oh, why, that's wonderful. What a match. But wait a minute. You've cheated me before. Have you really seen the Parnas? Did you talk to him about the marriage?
Sir, you impugn my honor as a matchmaker. Have I seen the Parnas? What a question. Of course I spoke to him about it.
You did, really? The Parnas, what did he say?
What did he say?
For the love of heaven, man, what did he say?
Why, he said just what you said to me this evening. How dare you propose such a match for my daughter? Out of my house. Lout, swindler, cheat. And he took me by the britches and threw me out of the house.
Here, Herschler, let me dust you off.
Gently, David. The second battle is ours, but we've sustained wounds. Mm. Severe wounds.
But I don't understand. David's father threw you out again.
Exactly. I'm a big man. If the seat of my britches holds out, we'll have him worn down till he can't raise his arm.
Herschler, I'm afraid we're getting nowhere. I'll never get my father's consent to marry Julia.
Oh, David.
Now, no tears. I'm the one to be sorry for. I've been bouncing up and down on the main street of Leidenschaft like a ball. Do you weep for me? No.
Oh, Herschler.
That's better. Now it's time for the third visit to Master Joseph the Merchant.
But he'll just throw you out into the street again.
Oh, that's all right. It's getting easier each time. You see, I know the way now.
But what's the use in going back to my father? He won't change his mind.
But each time I go back, he turns redder and sputters louder. An angry mind may not change, but it goes around in circles fast enough for the slightest shove to send it reeling. And when the mind reels, Herschler strikes.
What? Back again? Of all scoundrels.
At your service.
What have I done that you haunt me? Go away. Go away. Let me rest. I've had a weary day.
I've got another match for your son, a lovely girl.
Oh, no. Leave me alone. Go away.
Come, you want your son married, don't you?
No. Yes. I'm sleepy. Can't you come back tomorrow?
Tomorrow? Tomorrow's too late.
Why don't you let me sleep? I'm all confused.
You are?
I'm what?
Confused.
Of course not. I know perfectly well what I'm saying. Why should I marry your son? Why should my daughter... my son... Oh, why don't you go away and let me sleep?
First, we've got to get your son married off.
Oh, of course. What? What are you talking about? You got me all confused.
Good. Now you want a bit of a dowry for your son, don't you?
No, yes, of course.
Would you marry him to a girl with, 3,000 gulden?
Yes, anything. Only go away and let me sleep.
Would you swear it on your sacred honor and on the holy law?
Yes, on my honor and on the holy law, I swear it. Now let me be in peace.
Good. Then it's settled. You've sworn it.
Herschler, what good does that do us?
I haven't got 3,000 gulden. I've never even seen 3,000 gulden.
We're just as bad off as before.
It does seem so, doesn't it? But take Herschler's word, the road is clear ahead.
But how?
Be ready tomorrow in your finest clothes, both of you, and we'll have the wedding contract signed.
Oh, David!
Sweetheart! Herschler, I don't understand, but it's marvelous. Only the patriarchs in heaven know how you're going to do it.
They do? Well, I wish they'd let me in on it before morning. I'm completely in the dark.
At high noon on the main street of Leidenschaft the next day, Judith and David stood before the great oak door, dressed in their finest clothes, while Herschler, his torn and mended cloak dusty and freshly tattered, climbed the steps and rapped loudly. The door opened slowly, and Joseph the merchant stood on the sill, peering out into the street.
What? You again? Oh, no.
Good morning, Master Joseph. We've come to sign the marriage contract.
What marriage contract? David, what are you doing there dressed in your Sabbath clothes?
I'm going to be married, Father.
Your what? And to whom?
To me, may it please you, sir.
The orphan girl. How dare you, David? I forbid it. But never, never would I permit it. Now come into the house at once.
One moment, master. You've forgotten your oath.
What oath?
You swore you'd marry your son to any girl with a dowry of 3,000 gulden.
Oh, that. Well, I did it only to get rid of you. And besides, that pauper girl hasn't a copper for a dowry.
You're right, master. She has no copper, but gold. 3,000 gulden. All good, full round coins.
Heshla!
But how?
And now, master, here's the marriage contract. It wants only your signature, and the celebration can commence.
At the wedding feast, Heschela sat at Joseph's right hand, and when the dancing started, they led the first set arm in arm. And Joseph finally admitted that a pretty, sensible daughter-in-law was better than the biggest dowry in the province. And Herschela? Well, he admitted that Joseph's wine cellar was undoubtedly the best in the kingdom. The next day he said goodbye and struck out on the road to Minjibuz and his waiting wife.
Well, Herschela, have you been to see the palmist about your back pay?
I've just come from his house.
And did your story of a good deed satisfy him?
To the hilt.
Oh, fine.
Saint himself, he said, couldn't have been nobler.
Then the back pay, the money to buy wine and clothes and matzahs for Passover.
Well, there is a complication.
A complication?
You see, in order to give the orphan girl a dowry, I had to have 3,000 gulden.
Yes?
And so I borrowed it in advance from the palmist and gave it to the girl.
Oh.
It was the only way I could do my good deed.
Oh, no! A whole year's pay! Herschela, you didn't!
Certainly I did.
Oh.
Without the good deed, I couldn't get the money. And without the money, I couldn't do the good deed.
Yes, well, it is a blessing to give a dowry to a poor girl. Heschela, Heschela, Heschela. Well, we'll have a hungry Passover and a shabby one, but we'll have laughter in the house, won't we?
So we will, wife. On Passover, laughter is matzahs and wine.
Hmm.
And when you've done a good deed, why, they taste all the better.
True, true. Oh, thank heaven for my Heschela. But wait a minute.
Yes?
The pawn has promised 100 gulden over your back pay if you did the good deed. That will be plenty for matzahs and wine.
Well, to tell the truth, I gave the 100 gulden to Judith and David.
What? Our last copper? Oh, why did you do such a thing?
Well, I was the best man at the wedding, and what kind of a best would I be if I didn't give the newlyweds a wedding present?
Oh, Heschela.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to The Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we present Rabbi Philip Lippis of Temple Beth Abraham in Oakland, California, speaking from San Francisco.
It may come as a surprise to many people to discover such a rich vein of wit and humor in Jewish life as was revealed in the program just concluded. For such have been the unparalleled tragedies and miseries heaped upon the children of Israel in our day, such the enormity of the suffering to come upon a people long acquainted with pain and martyrdom, that those foreign to the inward spirit of the Jew would naturally conclude that his is a life of unrelieved gloom and sadness. Well, Herschela Ostropolyar and his like are effective and abundant refutation of this false notion. For the Jew can and does laugh. It is his ability to laugh through his tears that has helped him keep his courage high. Indeed, the jesting word and witty saying have been darts in his quiver in the battle for survival. To be sure, the Jew has lived by his intelligence, his undiscourageable faith and heroic will. Intellectualism helped him shut out the miseries that abounded all about him. His faith and heroic devotion to it gave him the assurances of a confident future. But he also lived literally by his wit, It didn't take him long to discover that if a soft answer turneth away wrath, a witty answer quencheth its flame. In his struggle with oppression, tyranny, and poverty, one of the weapons against these enemies of his existence has been the unfailing gift to see their comical, even ridiculous side. This power has been one of the instruments of his salvation. What a precious boon to have. What a wonderful gift to cultivate. A saving sense of humor with which to drive away the shadows of darkness and the shades of night. May we ever learn to see the humor even in evil and wickedness, to keep us from the anger that wasteth and the despair that destroyeth. Amen.
Eternal Light drama today, The Merry Jests of Herschele Ostropolyer, was written by Ernest Kinoy. The music was composed by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Milton Kadams. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured as Herschele was Martin Wolfson, and Norman Rose was the narrator. The entire production was under the direction of Frank Papp. If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to The Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. Free Time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC. Hear Horace Hite today.